Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Oregon's statewide primary election is set for May 19th. Voter registration deadline is April 28th. In our continuing series of candidate forums, we're reaching out to hear from all candidates in the Josephine County races. Joining me today are two of the crowded field of eight candidates running for the Josephine County Commissioner's seat two. The others are Chad Henson, Matt Spurlock, James Rafferty, Michael Burge, Mark Seligman, and Indra Nicholas. My two guests today are Mark Jones. His campaign message is based on experienced leadership, community involvement, and dedication. Welcome to the Exchange, Mark.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And Matt Ide. His campaign message is summed up in three words: trust, transparency, and service. Welcome to the Exchange, Matt.
Thank you for the invitation.
So let's begin with self-intros. Tell us who you are. We'll start with you, Matt.
My name is Matt Ide. I am a former HR and finance executive currently working in the consulting field. I focus on transformations for organizations in their human resources and finances arenas. I previously worked with budgets of over $1 billion and employee bases of over 4,000, which I think uniquely qualifies me to understand the complexities of a county budget. From a volunteer perspective, I am currently the president of Calvary Lutheran Church in Grants Pass and have been so for several years in my efforts to give back to the community. And from an education standpoint, I have an undergrad degree in business and political science and graduate degrees in management and law.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Mark.
Well, my family moved here to Josephine County back in 1971, and I grew up here, graduated Hidden Valley High School. After high school, I got into the fire service. That career path led me down into Arizona, where I ended up retiring in 2018 from the City of Scottsdale Fire Department. And after retirement, I decided it was time to move home. And so I came back home here. And since I've been back, been pretty heavily involved in our local county government and different organizations. I'm currently the chair of the Rural Planning Commission. I am vice chair of the Josephine Housing and Community Development Council. I am the board president of the Mid Rogue Fire District and president-elect for Caveman Kiwanis. I used to be in Rotary. And then I was in a citizens group for fire protection services and a couple other organizations that I've been involved in over the years. So, yeah, I've spent the last 6 years really paying a lot of attention to our county commissioners. I've attended many meetings. I even attended one of the Association of Oregon Counties meetings where they had that they hosted here locally at the Ann Basker, and that was a lot of good information.
It sounds like you have a lot of community leadership experience. What inspired you to run for Josephine County Commissioner seat two?
Well, as many people know, this will be my third time running for it. So what got me involved back in 2022, my first run was 2022. And I ran then just to get my name out there because a lot of people that I grew up with didn't know I had returned. That opened the door for me to run again in 2024. And in 2024, my reasoning then was just to bring some stability back to the office of the commissioner. It seems like they've gotten a little bit off track over the years, and just want to bring it back to make sure that the voice of the people is what's being heard and followed.
Okay, I appreciate that. Matt, what inspired you?
Like Mark, I had noticed that there has been a upheaval in our kind of political stability over the course of the last few years. A lot of noise in what's happening. And I felt through my kind of professional career of building bridges and having people find what unites them rather than divides us, that I could use that skill and bring some peace to Josephine County. In many ways, I'd like to make it boring, Josephine County boring, so that we could just make decisions, we could make the county run and we can start working to solve some of our harder issues together.
Okay, you both seem to feel that the county's off track in some way. So we'll start with you, Mark. What's going on with the county that you feel needs to be corrected, and how would you do it?
Well, first of all, there's a huge lack of trust in our county government that has been developed over the last few years. So restoring that trust, and to do that, I believe you have to lead by example, first of all, and leading in a way that restores that trust through, obviously, I mean, I can say these obvious buzzwords of transparency and accountability and so on, but it's the person's true character that's in that position. If they can be open and direct with everybody that they associate with in private, then those are the type of people who will run government open and above board. So obviously making sure that everything that is done in the commissioner's office, the public meetings and all that, is as transparent as can be, with getting that public information officer in there and having that person be able to get all the information out to the public in a timely manner so that the public is aware of everything that's going on, why the decisions are being made, what information the commissioners got in order to make those decisions, so that the citizens are truly involved in what's going on. And I think that'll restore the trust in our government.
Okay, I appreciate that. My guests are Mark Jones and Matt Ide. They are two of eight candidates running for the Josephine County Commissioner seat 2. Voting is on May 19th. Registration closes April 28th. Matt, what would you do to get the county back on track?
I think the county and us as commissioner candidates need to focus on public service and what the reason for us in the position is. We are responsible to the community to serve them in a way that makes their county effective. I think that the focus over the last couple of years has been slightly off. There's been numerous lawsuits. There's been numerous recalls that have distracted the county commissioners, the staff, the people from the true mission of what we should be doing, which is enhancing the lives of those which we serve. And I think that if we can get back to the service of the public, I think we'll be in a much better shape, both in the short term and in the long term.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is service.
Yeah.
Making sure that the county commissioners are doing the job that they're elected to do. What I'm hearing from Mark is that trust, transparency, character, all that counts. So it seems to me that you both believe that you have the right answers. So why do you believe that you're the best option for voters in this field of candidates? Matt, we'll start with you.
As a relative newcomer to the political space of Josephine County, I think I bring it, the unique perspective I bring is I don't have any preconceived notions. I don't have any of the baggage that has been placed in the county for what has happened or what would happen or what should happen, but can take this opportunity to look with fresh eyes on what can we do and focus on a forward-looking platform of just what can be done for Josephine County. I think in my professional career, that's what I've done with organizations, and I'd like to bring that opportunity to the public sphere of Josephine County in order to make changes in that arena.
Okay, you're a newcomer, no baggage.
That's right.
I got it. Okay. Mark, why are you the best option for voters?
Well, I've spent well over 6 years studying this position. I've attended the commissioner meetings, like I said before. I've spoke at many of the WBS meetings. And learning not only how the county runs, but how the individual departments are funded, where a lot of those funds come from, knowing how the budget works, working with different county budget individuals, the finance director, and talking to her over the years, both the current one and the past one, learning how all these functions need to happen on a a weekly basis to make sure that the county runs smooth. I've put in a lot of time and a lot of time and effort going into this. And not only that, but just being involved in all the other community organizations and the other county advisory boards. And I'm very well aware of how this county operates.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that you have experience and inside knowledge. All right. So, gentlemen, civic dialogue in our state and our country is challenging right now. Josephine County is no exception. How will each of you work to build bridges across the divisions in neighborhoods, classrooms, and faith communities across Josephine County? We'll start with you, Mark.
Well, obviously, it's a nonpartisan position, so not having those barriers. And to me, honestly, labels create barriers. So I've been with different groups that have many different political parties, whether it be Democrat, Republican, non-affiliated, Libertarian, Green Party. And when everybody leaves those labels at the door, we're able to come in and work together and solve problems in a very efficient way. And I think that's very important with any government position, is to keep your political party, check it in at the door, come in and work with people, listen to everybody, because everybody's perspective is going to be different, no matter what it is. Like in the fire service, you know, when we rolled up on a burning building, we didn't just rush in the front door. We did what we called a 360 on the building so we could get the full perspective of what was going on before we made a decision on how to act. So that's the same approach that I would take with this county government in this position, is get the perspective of everybody before making any decisions.
Okay. Matt, you mentioned you're a pastor.
I'm the president of the congregation. I'm not the pastor. I deal with the managerial and administrative functions of the church.
Gotcha. But you're in some leadership position inside of a faith community.
Yes.
So you deal with civic dialogue and bringing people together and building bridges. How would you do that for the county?
What I think is important is you have conversations with everyone. It doesn't matter what their political affiliation or where their background is coming from. You sit down and you have a conversation to really understand where they're coming from, how their ideas are formed, where we can find common ground, where can we find a willingness to find solutions together that maybe neither one of us had originally thought of. I think that the dialogue is important, not the online dialogue. I think the online dialogue provides a barrier for true communication, but sitting down across from someone and having that conversation connects you to that person in a different way that allows for, I think, a true conversation to come out. And finding that willingness to find a solution, I think, is what's important in that context, because if there isn't a willingness, the conversation becomes words, whereas if there's a willingness, that conversation can move to action. And I think by having divergent points of view, ultimately we come to a better decision or a better opportunity for a solution by understanding the many different facets of a person or person's thoughts to arrive there. And it's just important to have those distinct points of view. So opening it up to dialogue for everyone to sit down and talk through things, I think is a really important way to work through some of the civil discourse.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that distinct points of view are not necessarily bad, but opening up dialogue so that people can engage and understand one another is a good thing. And Mark, what I'm hearing you say is that we need to leave those labels at the door. And when we do that, we can work together and have a good conversation toward, and some one of you said it, finding common ground. Am I understanding you both correctly?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I believe that the different points of view, I think Mark makes a great point of dropping labels at the door, because just bringing yourself to that conversation is what's important. Your viewpoints are important, but if we can drop the label piece that makes some people defensive in that structure, I think that that's important. So I agree with Mark on the point of dropping labels.
Okay, looks like we found common ground in this conversation, but we have to take a short break. My guests are Mark Jones and Matt Ide. They are two of the eight candidates running for the Josephine County Commissioner seat 2. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guests are Mark Jones and Matt Ide. They are two candidates in a crowded field running for the Josephine County Commissioner seat 2. Election day is May 19th. Gentlemen, if you could resolve only one issue during your term as commissioner, what would it be? We'll start with you, Matt.
My one issue is political stability and calmness. If we can bring a calmness to our civil conversation, our calmness to our politics, I think that there are many things that flow from that. So economic development being one thing that flows from that. Businesses will be more likely to invest in our community if they're more sure of what the direction of the county looks like. They can have some faith, some confidence in what the leaders are doing so that the business leaders can come in and invest. I think what flows from that then is you get to the housing. So if businesses are here and needing workers, then housing becomes the place next. So we can get affordable housing. We can get housing in for those workers. And then through that, if we can stabilize our government element, we can start working to make decisions together that help to impact our homeless population that is a great problem within our county. But I think by having that stable form of government, it starts to bring the trust back into our leaders. It starts to bring the transparency back into decision making. And through that flow, a lot of really positive change for the county.
Okay, that's an amazing strategy. So political stability and calmness leads to trust, which leads to stability, which leads to economic development, which leads to housing, affordable housing, and that leads to addressing the homeless problem. So, did I get that right?
You did. I mean, it's a well-fangled problem, but yes, I think that by building that trust with within the group and outside the county, we do get to solve some much larger issues and have some positive impact on the community, on the residents of Josephine County.
Okay, I appreciate that. Mark, if you could resolve only one issue during your term as commissioner, what would it be?
Restoring revenue streams to our county. You know, for years, this county has struggled with the revenue. Majority of the funds used to run these departments are pass-through dollars from the state. We also, as far as the general fund for the main running of, say, the treasurer's office, the assessor's office, the surveyor's office, and the BCC, you know, that the general fund is the lowest tax amount in the entire state at 58 cents per thousand. Back in the day, we had logging, and that revenue stream from the logging paid for pretty much everything the county needed. At some points in time, there were no property taxes collected at all because we made enough off of timber receipts. The ONC funding and all that stuff that went away, I don't think we'll ever get that back to where it's at, where it was. But there is a way, you know, hopefully here with some federal requirements for logging increase on federal lands and the federal thinning, that we can restore some of that revenue. So the other thing would be just finding new revenue streams that'll support the county functions so that we're not adding new taxes to the citizens. We need to get back to being self-sufficient here. And, you know, logging was a big thing. We need to find something that can assist now and alongside with logging. So that would be my main focus, would be finding those different revenue streams that can help offset the costs of all the requirements of county government.
Okay, so that's a big issue now, restoring revenue streams. You say that the general fund in Josephine County is the lowest in the state, and you mentioned ONC funding. Is that Oregon and California funding from the timber industry?
Okay. Correct, from railroad, yeah.
And so what I'm hearing you say is that restoring those revenue streams is a top priority for you. I'm wondering, how would you restore those revenue streams? What replaces what's missing?
Well, that's just it, is finding those revenue streams. There's options for mining. I mean, some of the land here in Josephine County is very mineral rich. Again, there's ways to do this mining nowadays that doesn't disrupt the land like it used to back in the old days, where they'd come in and strip mine and it looked really horrible. There's different ways of doing it now that if we can get these companies to come in, mine these lands, extract, you know, the minerals that are in there in a good way that doesn't disrupt the streams and whatnot. Those are funds that can help support, like the sheriff's office, offset some of those funds. So different types of revenue streams, and it could be multiples. Another way, too, is something that was brought up by Commissioner DeYoung back in the day, is the idea of a rural county caucus, that the rural counties come together and they can help push things through the state to help make changes that would benefit all of our rural counties and be able to bring some other type of revenue streams back to the county.
Okay, so you crowdsource to get some ideas. I get it.
Correct.
Matt, you brought up homelessness. And homelessness in Josephine County has been an ongoing issue, obviously. I mean, Grants Pass brought this issue all the way to the Supreme Court. So the nation's spotlight was on Oregon and on Josephine County. How would you address it, Matt?
I think homelessness is definitely an issue that is not Grants Pass centric, but I agree with the spotlight on that. If I had the answer to that, I'd put it into action tomorrow. I think what we need to do is start looking at things that haven't been done yet and see if that works. The things that we're doing right now aren't. So let's see what other options are available to us. I think we can capitalize on our spotlight that the Supreme Court offered to us to see if there are other people, organizations from across the nation that would come in with some different ideas for Grants Pass so that we could then become the model. So we go to the Supreme Court with our lawsuit and then come out with a model of how to work through homelessness. I don't have the answers to that, and I would love to explore the opportunity to find those answers with the community together.
Okay, it sounds like both of you are interested in crowdsourcing solutions, one for replacing the revenue that's missing, and the other for addressing the homeless population problem. My guests are Mark Jones and Matt Ide. They are two of eight candidates running for the Josephine County Commissioner's seat 2. Election day is May 19th. Registration closes April 28th. So, Mark, homelessness, what are your thoughts?
You know, it's a big issue. There's multiple layers to this homelessness situation. There's those that have mental issues that keep them from being stable enough to get into homes. Then there's those that are homeless due to different reasons that say they're living in their car or whatnot. And what's happened is we've priced a lot of people out of homes. Back in the 50s here in Grants Pass, and you'll see it like along Bridge Street and just north of up to G Street, there was a whole section of small homes. You know, they were like 800 square feet, just, you know, for us. Family, a young family starting out or whatever, but the area pulled together and they built all these homes pretty rapidly and made them affordable and people could get into them. There's currently these what I call tiny home communities. I think there's one in Ashland, there's one in Central Point, one in Medford, and they're 400 to 600 square foot small homes in a little community. That allows people to, they can purchase these homes at very low price, or they're rented out at low price. But we need stuff like this in our community to allow those people who are struggling, who are living in their cars, who are trying to get ahead, that just can't afford that $2,000 a month rent payment. Those people can get into these tiny homes and start and build, and it's like a stepping stone. As we put these stepping stones in place, it allows people to get into a house, start bettering themselves, bettering their lives, getting a little better, and then they're able to step up to the next stage. Without these stepping stones, we've got this mess now to where the homeless population, like I said, it's multiple from the drug addicted, the mental health, up to the people who are just struggling but can't quite get to where they need to be, all the way up to people like in the elderly population too, where they've been in their home forever, but now with Social Security and things like that and the cost of everything, they're not able to keep these homes. I know like the Gospel Rescue Mission, he started a project there. It's being built over off of Harbeck, Mission View Village. It's an area for the assigned for the elderly. It'd be small, little, tiny home type community for the elderly. But these are the kind of things we need to start focusing on and doing here to provide these stepping stones for everybody so that it'll help offset this homeless problem. Now, as far as the ones on drugs and mental health, we need to put in some sort of facilities again. I know back in the 80s, unfortunately, one of the bad things Ronald Reagan did was get rid of the mental health facilities. That really, I believe, added to a lot of our issues today. But having these facilities that can take and help these people who are struggling mentally or with drugs, we don't have enough of that. I know there's some organizations that are getting started here in the county, and I'm really hoping that they'll be able to make a good positive difference.
Okay, well, a lot of good ideas. Again, it goes back to county not having enough money and resources.
Right.
We haven't talked about education. You mentioned elder care. That leads to health care. We've touched on a little bit about business. You need revenue coming into the county. Can we focus a little bit about education? What's going on with education? What are your thoughts? Matt?
I think there needs to be a renewed focus on education and some of the and what we're looking at as far as how people are coming out of our educational systems. We need to make sure that they do have the skills that they need, that they do have the knowledge that is necessary to exist in society. Like, we need to make sure that once they step out, they can get jobs, that they have enough information to be able to do that. I think that there's a lack of focus in making sure that there is an end result to the education as opposed to that the in-the-moment education. And I mean, my nieces, my nephews came through the public schools in Grants Pass and in the county. And there are times that they'd come home with some work, and I'm like, I couldn't understand what the end result of why they were asking to do work. And so by focusing on skills that are necessary to be in the workforce in a post-educational environment, I think what we're doing is we're setting up our young folks to be in a much better position than we have previously.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. Mark?
Well, one of the things, I was thinking about back in the day when I was in junior high, I had home ec class. You know, it taught me how to cook. It taught me how to balance my checkbook, how to make change, and all these things. They don't do that today. I'm hearing kids say they don't, you know, that's not something that's taught. And then the other issue is just basic life skills that aren't being taught in school. And a lot of times because the parents, parents are working, they don't have time to do that. And some of the parents rely on the schools to teach these things, but the schools aren't teaching them. And then as the kids get out of school, I think, college is good and all, but we need to get some kids into trade schools because the trades are lacking, construction, welding, automotive repair, things like that. These are all things that we need that aren't getting the people in the workforce that we should have.
Okay, gentlemen, we have about 1 minute left, and I'll just have to ask you to, scout's honor. I give you 30 seconds, closing remarks. Mark, go first, and then we'll get to you, Matt.
Well, I just thank you for having us, and I ask the voters out there to get to know the candidates and make a very educated vote this year. It's very important that you know and understand who you're voting for.
Excellent. Matt?
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and connect with your audience, and I'm actually going to echo Mark's sentiment. Make sure you get out and learn about all of the candidates and all of the positions and make the decision that is best for you and the candidate of your choice.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks to you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
My guests were Mark Jones and Matt Eid. They are two of the eight candidates running for the Josephine County Commissioner seat 2. Election day is May 19th. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.